Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm you have called me.
Thanks for another day's journey. We are truly blessed, truly glad, and we are grateful and thankful to the Almighty God for keeping us yet another week. You know, we don't take these things for granted. It's, you know, every day is truly a blessing. There's a multitude of those that were here last week, and this week, if you were to call them, the fact of the matter, they wouldn't be able to answer their names. You know, the blessing is the fact that he released you into this day. You know, the things that were gained from this experience of living here and experiencing life to whatever degree you choose to do it. I mean, some choose to sit back and do nothing. Some choose to get out there and pursue after jobs or whatever ambitions that they had in their hearts, but it was truly a blessing, and we are grateful for that. Again, you know, there are so many things that were pressed down in one day. I mean, it's just amazing how God, you know, in all of this, he keeps everybody alive. He keeps everything moving. You know, in him we live, we move, and we have our being. And, you know, we don't take that for granted. You know, the source of our health, the source of our strength, the source of our power and everything, breath and everything else. I mean, all that we have, we don't have air to breathe. So God created the trees and all of the green herbs, and they produce the oxygen that we live and that we breathe, so breathe on. And we're grateful for that. There's just so much that he does for us. Rain comes down from the clouds and waters the earth. We drink the water. We use the water for the plants and every living thing. Every living thing requires water. So we are grateful for what God does. You know, waters the earth. He feeds the birds of the sky, of the air. Clothes the lilies of the field, you know. So we are grateful for those things. And we try to truly bless his holy and righteous name. Oh, God, we are thankful. We are thankful. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. Great is his faithfulness. The prophet Jeremiah recalled to mind, therefore have we hope. You know, Jeremiah remembered his affliction, the wormwood and the gall. He remembered it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. The fact that God's compassion, he's moved with compassion. The fact that his mercy, you know, which is renewed every morning, you know, it's no goodness of anybody. It's simply God's mercy. And we are grateful for his grace and his mercy, unmerited favor, the love that God has toward us. You know, there was one who asked the question, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visit him, thou made him a little lower than the angel and crowned him with glory, you know, that thou might avenge the enemy. What is man? That's the question. What is he? You know, God kind. Somebody made in the image and the likeness of God. So we thank, we're grateful that God favors us. Amen. We bless his holy and righteous name. My name is Apostle Williams. We certainly welcome you here today. And we're still in the book of Matthew chapter 24. We're talking about the end time. You know, we're talking about the end time, that place where we are today and the world situations that are going on in the world. The main concern is we want to be in that place or in that rapture zone. Of course, those that died in the Lord, they already, and those that are asleep, already with the Lord. The Apostle Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So those saints will come back. They're coming back in the clouds. You know, the Lord, they're coming back with the Lord, you know. The Lord himself will descend in the cloud, the voice of the archangel, trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. In Acts chapter 15, talking about the church, that is, Simon declared how God did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people called by his name. We bear his name in the earth. Church was began on the day of Pentecost. you know, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost came, the promise of the Father came like a mighty rushing wind, and it fell upon them, and they began to speak with other tongues, cloven tongues of fire. And this was what Simon Peter declared, what the prophet Joel spoke about, that the Lord would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters would prophesy. Old men shall dream dreams, and young men shall have visions. I mean, this is what he talked about on the day of Pentecost, when the church began, fulfilling not only the 32nd Jubilee cycle week, but also the 69th week. The clock was cut off. There's 1 week in the balance, 7 years. When the church is raptured, that man of sin can be revealed, and the beginning of what they call the tribulation of the last week or the 70th week. Amen? So we thank God for the Bible and the Word of God. You know, truly the Word of God is true, and it does speak concerning these things. You know, we were studying Timothy, Paul's letter to Timothy, when he talked about the latter days. The latter days, which is what we have here today, and the minds and the nature and the hearts of men, how it has failed them. You know, people, you know, in a sinful state, you know, sin itself, of course, when people sin and their heart becomes sinful and, you know, they're, you know, it creates a person who's not even human. I mean, it creates something that's like a human, it looks like a human, but sin creates a disposition or an attitude. When people become sinners and stay in sin, you know, it creates a different kind of person. You know, we talked about lovers of self, proud, boastful, unnatural affection. I mean, these things, when a person, you know, the love that should be there for sisters and brothers, unnatural affection, not only that, the affection that a man would have for another man or a woman for another, I mean, the nature of people and the condition of man's heart has failed them. The consciousness has become hardened. You know, people just do what they want to do. You know, narcissism. Everybody's thinking about themselves. Nobody wants to be concerned about nobody else. So, you know, the hearts of men, it has a different nature. You know, we have made a lot of strides in this world and in this country, but we have lost a lot. You know, the moral state of man, you know, his consciousness, his idea about his fellow man has become so demented. And, you know, the problem is, like anything else, you know, people need people. You know, we live in a society. It was designed for us to come together in unity. And there's strength in unity because we recognize that the enemy works with division. So he puts things in our way, you know, cause division among our people. And people live fragmented lives. You know, nobody can trust each other. You know, of course, like anything else, hurting people hurt other people. And, of course, this creates distance and this creates a situation where, you know, people become narcissistic. Not only narcissistic, they become so self-motivated, you know, that nobody, they don't want to be used. Nobody wants to get hurt. Nobody wants to be involved. Nobody wants to reach across. You know, God tells us to love. But, of course, we're afraid to love. Fear enters the heart. People live a separate life because they're afraid of any kind of involvement, any kind of attachment. Because, like anything else, nobody wants to be hurt. So we thank God for the Word of God. Perilous times shall come, having a form of godliness, but denied the power thereof. You know, the gospel was designed to change and to save man, to turn man's heart back to God. I mean, a form of godliness. You know, people, you'd be surprised, carnality and carnal Christians, confessing but can't live anything. You know, confessing to be righteous, but can't live a righteous life, you know, doing all kinds of fleshly things. You know, the carnal mind is an enemy of God. You know, people trying to as opposed to, you know, allowing the Spirit to lead them and, you know, being led by their spirit man, you know, from the Spirit that creates, that God put into them, the Holy Spirit, to give them the body and experience. They deal with their mind and, you know, trying to, like anything else, do good. You know, you got to surrender. This is a surrendering walk. We got to heal our members to the Holy Spirit, the word that he's put in our hearts. And, you know, we got to grab hold of this thing and try to live it, try to live a godly life, try to live a life that of God that resembles Christ in the earth. But the carnal mind, having a form of godliness. You know, religion has all of the appearances. This is the problem. Religion has all of the appearances. And, of course, that's all it is. And the problem with religion is you can put it on, and then you can take it off. You know, religion is like that. You know, we can dress up on Sunday, go to church, do all of our performances, and come back home and live a shameful life, as opposed to living a godly life, a surrendered life, you know, giving it all to the Lord, you know, presenting your body as a living sacrifice. There has to be a change. There has to be a quickening. The Holy Spirit has to come in and reside within our hearts. You know, we have to surrender our will to the will of God, not only because of the word, but also because of the Spirit that wants to live in us. So, you know, it's a matter of coming all the way in. We can't live straddling the fence. You know, there was something about Jesus. He said, you either for me or you're against me. You know, you have to come all the way in. Yeah. And then once you get in, then it's a matter of doing his will, bowing down and worshiping, worshiping him. True worshipers, Jesus said, worship the Father in spirit as well as in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. We got to bow down, which means to bend. It means to lay prostrate. It means to do his will, do his bidding. It's not about us, church. It's not about us. It's about he who created us. And God has opened up a door. He's provided a way for us. He's given us his comforter. And he's given us his word. And he waited patiently for us. You know, he waited patiently on us to get it right. You know, God is the God of a second chance. He don't just cut you off and, you know, leave you out here stranded and in a situation. He gives us time to fix it and try to get things back in order. You know, try to gather ourselves, gather the pieces of our life. You know, we have to sit under the word. We have to be taught. We have to be taught in the way of righteousness, in the way of the kingdom. We have to be taught these things. And then once you learn how to become a Christian, then we have to put away the things of the world, the things of the flesh. Put these things away. I mean, it's a process. You know, nobody is an overnight wonder. You know, ain't nobody in this Christian walk come in here and automatically everything just fell in place. You know, it is a process. You know, it's not an overnight sensation. And God has got to do such a work in us to get us to the place where we can be called saints. You know, saints of the Most High God. Not Christians, because anybody wears that title. A saint is something that's given to a person who lived this life, you know, every day. I mean, they live a quality, saint, Christian life. Anybody can be called a Christian, but not everybody can be called a saint. You know, there's a whole lot to living a holy life, you know, living a pure life, living a consecrated life. You know, that's a certified life, you know, sanctification, you know, being sanctified by the washing of the water by the word, you know, prayer and fasting and consecration and having some kind of relationship with the Spirit of God in you. You know, you got to get to a place where you can hear God's voice. You know, you got to be in a place where you can hear him and be led by him. You know, we can't just continue to live any kind of way and expect to be rapture-worthy. It just doesn't work that way. It's not like you can just get ready. You have to be ready. Saints, it is so important. It's so important. Nobody comes to this world to live. You know, we don't live here forever. We just sojourned here. We're sojourners. We're on a journey. You know, the journey that we're on, you know, it's going to take us from earth to glory. You know, we got to find our way back home. You know, all life comes from God. You know, we come here. This is our dressing up room. You know, this is where we learn how to live and, you know, where we are tried and tested. You know, in this world, in this life, we're going to have trials and we're going to have tribulations. You know, this is where we learn how to live this quality Christian life. You know, it's a very simple thing. You know, when you have a made-up mind, it's very simple to live a godly life. But if your mind's not made up, the world is right here to influence you. And then your flesh, you know, the battle of your flesh and keeping this flesh under subjection, you know, sanctifying yourself, crucifying this flesh, and putting yourself in a position to hear God. You're going to be tried and tested, brothers and sisters. Tried and tested. You know, pride is what's going to destroy most of those. Most people are going to hell from the church, and they're going there because of pride. You know, sitting under the word and refusing to live out what God is requiring from you. You know, every time you sit under the word, you sit yourself in judgment. You sit yourself in a place to be judged. You know, when the book is open, you know, when we are, you know, judgment begins at the house of God. Of course it does, because we have the understanding of God's word. We have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You know, we are being taught what God is expecting of us. You know, so, you know, when you know to do right and to do it not to him, the word says, is a sin. You know, you can't just continuously, you know, ignore what God is trying to get you to do. You know, we are his workmanship, the Bible tells us. You know, God is the potter. We are simply clay in the hands of the potter. And what is he trying to do? Mold us and shape us after his will and after his way. You know, vessels of honor and not vessels of dishonor. You know, God's mercy truly is sufficient. You know, without his mercy, without his grace, we wouldn't make it. You know, of course, the wages of sin is still death. The gift of God is eternal life. You know, sin is still a problem. You know, God loves everybody, but he hates sin. God hates it. You know, God hates sin. You know, he don't hate the sinner, he hates sin. And there's only one thing that takes sin out of the sinner's life, and that's the blood of Christ. The blood that was shed on Calvary's cross is the only thing that removes sin from the sinner's life. So we thank God he's coming back for a church, brothers and sisters. This physical building that you think is a church, he's coming back for you and I, the temple of God, your body, which is the temple of the living God. God desired to live in lively stones, not to be carried around in a box or carried, you know, be living up in a building. God lives in you. Your body is the temple of the living God. The Holy Spirit lives in you. He consummates in you. He walks in you. He talks in you. You know, God wants to take you to another place. You know, God wants you to come out of sin. You know, God wants us to live a quality and a victorious life. But, of course, it's going to take the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, finally, brother, and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, because there is opposition. We have to have on the whole armor of God. We have to have the covering of the Holy Spirit, you know, covering us, helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, feet shrouded with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, the Holy Spirit, our very teacher and our leader and our guide who teaches us in the way of righteousness. You know, we have got to surrender. You know, we got to get off the throne of our life. I'm thinking about this little temporary situation, this world, this life. Everything here is temporal. That world, the spirit world, is eternal. You know, it's an eternal world. And we long to go there. bound to go up to the maker. So we have got to yield our members. As members of unrighteousness, no. But as members of righteousness, yes. We got to yield ourselves unto those things that are right, those things that are pure, those things that are holy, those things that are righteous. You know, we have to yield our members. We have to guard our word, you know, the words of your mouth. You know, this body, this word of God has the ability to bring your soul in. You know, you've got to have the word impregnated in your soul to bring this body under subjection. You know, it's going to take the word of God. It's going to take the word. You know, a commitment to God's word. The Holy Spirit will bring that word back to your remembrance. You know, bring us to a place in God. First of all, it starts with being fearful of God. You got to have a spirit that fears God. We can't get so comfortable with the things that we do here. We got to understand that God is watching you. The angels are watching you. They hear what you say. They see what you do. You know, things are being recorded, you know, about your life. You know, your life, God has record on us. And he sees what we do. You know, of course, we don't want to fail. We have one chance to get it right, and that's in this world and in this life. You know, after death, there's nothing left but the judgment. So we got to get it right, church. We got to get it right. We got to get off the throne of our life. You know, if the word says it, that should settle it. You know, the word says it, that there's a falling away from the faith. Yes, there is. There's a great falling away. People are so modernized. You know, we got these modern-day Christians that think that they can do anything. You'd be surprised, you know, the kinds of stuff that people do, the way we treat each other, the way we look, the way we carry ourselves. And we think that we are saints. You know, it just doesn't work that way. You know, politics is in the church. You know, it's all about who you know. You know, popular this and, you know, people, there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God who's in all, through all, and above all. You know, Paul says in Ephesians, continuing to keep unity in the bonds of peace. You know, we've got to come together as a church. You know, there's no black heaven or white heaven or rich or poor heaven. It's this one heaven. And God is seated on the throne. There's one heaven, the third heaven, where God sits, which is the seat in the north. And, of course, it's up to us. It's up to us. It's up to us to give him our best. It's up to us. So we thank God for another worship experience, Matthew 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came unto him and shew him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be torn down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? That's a question. Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be a sign of your coming? Amen. And an end of the world. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not trouble, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these things are the beginning of sorrow. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, as we come before your throne of grace, as we come before your throne of mercy, Lord, we bow in your presence. We say yes to your will, yes to your way. Our hands are lifted up, our heart's desires are towards you, Lord God. We ask you, Father, to forgive us. Forgive us, Lord God, of all our sins. Lord, when we have sinned against you. We ask that you wash us in your blood. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Give us of thy spirit, Lord God, afresh and anew, that we might be able to come into your presence. We're grateful for the Holy Ghost, the very spirit of truth. We ask him to lead us and guide us and teach us and bring all things back to our remembrance, the things that are necessary for this worship experience on today. Father, again, we call upon that wonderful name, the name of Jesus. We ask you, God, to send your word with power and authority. We take authority again over every hindering spirit. We ask that the hearts of men be prepared to receive your word. And then, Lord, we just ask you, Lord God, to use me as a vessel. Use my mouth, speak to my mouth, speak to my mind. Lord God, we ask that you would speak, Lord, that your people would hear and know what it is that you would have to say to them on tonight. These and all blessings we ask in Jesus' name. We thank God. We thank God. And amen. Jesus turned over the money table. The money tables, they were in the temple selling turtle doves, chickens and goats and all these things. You know, they were in the temple. They were using the temple. The house of God was turned into a house of a den of thieves. You know, gambling and all these kinds of affairs, and it angered Jesus to the point where he turned over the tables and took a scrap and began to chase them out of the temple. When he was finished doing this, he went to the Mount of Olives, you know, and sat down. And his disciples came to him privately. You know, Jesus was, the time of his departure was near at hand. He had warned his disciples that, you know, his time here was short. And so from that conversation, they came unto him privately and asked him, give us a sign of your coming and an end of the age. This is what they asked Jesus. Give us a sign of your coming and the end of the age. You know, and then the first thing that Jesus talks about, it's about this deception. People, if there's a real, there's a down. If there's an in, there's an out. You know, there has to be an opposite. If there's a real church, there must be a false church. You understand? You know, if there's a real, there must be a false. That's the only way it can exist. You know, if God's church exists, then there must be a church that looks like the counterfeit church. It looks like a church of God, but in reality, it is a counterfeit. What makes it a counterfeit? Doctrine. You know, what established and what establishes a church? Doctrines that are being taught. The teaching is what discriminates and makes the decisions about what the church is. The position that we take on the word, you know, as the word is not rightly divided, it's not, you know, it's not rightly divided. And the only problem with this is scattered all over. There's precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. And if God has a church, the Bible says Satan himself appears to be an angel of light. And how much more so his ministers, but ministers of the righteousness. God, Satan is not trying to deceive the church from outside. He deceived the church from the inside. In other words, the devil has brothers and sisters, there's no other way to say it. And it's built on error. It's built on error. You know, the only thing that makes man free is the truth. The Bible tells us that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, the secret things God kept to himself. But the things that he desires to know, he made it available to us in the 66th book called the Bible. Now, rightly dividing the truth, the teacher is the Holy Ghost. You know, nobody can know the things of God except the Holy Spirit reveal it to us. Seek the spiritual things spiritually discerned. The only way you're going to know the things of God, Spirit has to give it to you. You know, we have things, Jesus said that they have eyes, and yet they don't see. They have ears, and yet they don't hear. You know, we have to compare spiritual things to spiritual things. Amen? So we thank God for the Holy Spirit, our teacher, our comforter, our guide. His job is to, the three work together, the whole God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And they all talk, you know, they all work together, yet not separate. They work in unison. And the Holy Ghost has a ministry here on the earth. You know, he has a ministry. His ministry is the ministry of salvation and to open up to us the knowledge of God and make available to us the things of God as it moves God into God's purpose. You know, as we are moved into God's purpose by God himself. You know, the Holy Spirit begins to unveil himself. Of course, like anything else, obedience. It takes obedience. You know, once you humble yourself, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, 9 gifts, okay? The Holy Spirit operates in these gifts. It's the same Spirit given to us severally, but it's the one Spirit. It's called the Holy Ghost. You know, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of prophecy, you know, discerning of spirits. The 9 gifts and operation of the Holy Ghost. That's one of the things that's necessary for in the church, that the Holy Spirit is the administrator. You know, in other words, you know, the preacher and the church has to be led by the Spirit, you know, not by denominational doctrine or anybody else's doctrine, led by the Spirit. Spirit has to have free course. You can't grieve the Spirit of God, you know. Spirit comes in, and he becomes the administrator. You know, if God wants us to praise all night, we praise all night. If they want to be deliverance all night, you know, if they want to be prayer all night, whatever the Spirit leads us to do. You know, we are here to do his will. God knows what we need. And the Holy Spirit is here to lead us in those places and develop us in those places. You know, consecrate us in those places where we need to be consecrated. Pride is going to be the primary problem in the church. You know, not sex or smoking cigarettes or drugs or fornication or adultery, but having the right attitude, humbling yourself. You know, the kingdom is like a child. You have to humble yourself. Jesus said it himself. Suffer not the little children, and put it not, for such is the kingdom of God. You know, you have to come humbly so you can be taught. You know, there's always going to be authority. We have to submit to the authority. Jesus submit to his Father. Of course, the things that the Holy Spirit talks about are the things that that Jesus desires, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, humbly, you have to submit. Everybody submit to an authority. Nobody is doing what they want to do. Everybody has to answer to somebody. If you're not, then you got some problems. The Holy Spirit is the administrator of the church. His job, number one, is to save souls to bring conviction to the heart of a sinner. Conviction. The conviction leads to salvation. Conviction. So we thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. The anointing, the power of God, you know, and how he is placed in the body of Christ. Be not deceived. Let's go back to the word. Matthew 24, the deception Satan has his own churches. You know, there is a church that appeared to be a genuine church, but in reality, if you search it out, the doctrine is incorrect. So we got false teaching. We got not only false teaching, you got all kinds of idolatry, things that are going on in the church that God says shouldn't be there. You know, all kinds of, you know, ceremonies and new moons and all these different things that take you out of God's will. They came up to him privately and they asked the question, give us a sign of your coming and an end of the age. A sign of his coming. We don't ever want to forget Matthew 24 and verse 32. Because this gives us, nobody knows the day nor the hour that the Son of Man comes, but we can know the season. And Paul says in Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 and 5, he says, the time and the season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourself know perfect that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. And it says here in Matthew 24 and 32, now learn the parable of the fig tree. When the branches are yet tender and put forth her leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Jesus is soon to come. You know, Jesus is soon to come. It's evident that he's coming. You know, the times that we're living in. The fact that the fig tree parable refers to Israel. And Israel became a nation May 12, 1948. Fact that they became a nation. You know, we are the end time church. You know, we are the latter rain. Joel, the prophet Joel, declared that God would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. The apostle James said, the war of the Lord waited patiently for the early and the latter rain. We are the latter day saints. You know, we are a generation of people that will see it all fulfilled. Sign of his coming and the end of this age. This dispensation that we're living is called the dispensation of grace. When the rapture occurs, that dispensation has ended. You know, we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, we're not saved by works, church. We're saved by grace. His grace truly is sufficient. We are the latter-day saints, the latter rain. You know, on the day on the Azusa Street when the Holy Spirit, when there were signs, not religion, because religion always the dark ages and then religion existed, but there was a time when there were miracles, miracle working power of the Holy Ghost. It takes the Holy Ghost to resurrect us, you know, resurrect dead things, you know, people that have been dead in sin. And then God breathed on them and breathed in a new life. The Holy Spirit breathed the breath of life into you, and you became a new creature. Old things were passed away, and people were able to put off unrighteousness and put on righteousness. Amen? So we thank God for the move of the Holy Spirit. You know, the move of the Holy Spirit. And this latter day rain that the Apostle Paul, Apostle James talked about. Let us not forget about the deception. Satan has his working inside the church. You'd be surprised at the things that go on in some of these experiences. You know, some of these church experiences and the things that people do inside of churches and say it's of God and God, you know, God inspired. You know, you'd be surprised at the things that are going on in the Latter-day Church or what they call the church. In these different organizations. Amen. Again, the Holy Spirit has got to be in charge. He's the administrator of this new and living way. You know, repent and be baptized for the remissions of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:38. Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. False, you know, all kinds of false teaching, New Age movement. You know, they're calling God some of every kind of name. You'd be surprised at the movement. They want to call names. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Ever since Jesus made this statement, almost 2,000 years ago, we have been in the end time. Well, just now we are at the end of that time, which is called the last days. You know, the last days. The kind of spirits that have been released on this earth, you can see, you look around, people are so dissatisfied about how God and what God has created them. You know, you look at some of them and they got all kinds of designs all over their skin, all kinds of piercing in their nose and their ears and all over their bodies and all kinds of drawings and things that they put on their body, you know, demonstrating that, you know, they wouldn't, you know, they feel that God, for some reason, made a mistake, and so they decide to redesign their bodies. You know, you'd be surprised how some go to the place where they have sex change and change their sex identity. Men with men, women with women. You know, some turn themselves into a woman and some turn themselves into a man. You know, the rebellion of the state of man's heart, you know, telling God that they made a mistake. You know, this Adamic nature, the sin nature that man has. This is the reason why we need another nature, you know, the nature of God. You know, as opposed to being goats, you know, we become sheep. You know, goats are very rebellious. You know, they rebel against authority. And that's the thing about the Adamic nature. You know, anything of authority, you tell them to do one thing, and they'll do it totally different just because they have the right to choose. We're living in that kind of world. There's all kinds of technological advancements, you know, cell phones and computers and all kinds of electronic gadgetry, websites. You know, we could go all the way around the world. We can, you know, be here in Waldorf and look at somebody on the television or on the computer screen, speak to somebody across the world. You know, we can get in an airplane tonight, we're here, tomorrow we can be halfway around the world. You know, this is the kind of technological changes, and the government can hear and record all of our conversations. You'd be surprised at what's going on. You know, we are number in a number system. You know, this, one of the problems with the one world order, it's a system of the one world order which identifies who you are. In order to buy and sell, we have to take the mark of the beast, which is some kind of a system of identification, a chip or some kind of thing, electronic gadget that they label you with so that they can keep up with you. And refusing to take the mark, you know, you'll die. You know, you either take the mark or die. So we have to be careful. These are dangerous times. The church could be here today or to this moment and gone next. You know, this is what's going on. This is the reason why it's so dangerous, church. This is the reason why we have to stop praying, church. This is the reason why we got to come out from among, you know, among them and be separate, you know, separate ourselves for the truth and for the gospel and stand up for the things of God. People, if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. The Bible says, doing all to stand, stand. And what are we standing upon? The promises of God's word. God's word will be fulfilled. You know, without a doubt, God's word will be fulfilled. His word will come to pass. So we got to stand up for truth. Stand up for truth, you got to know the truth. And the truth will make you free. It's the reason why the Bible tells us to study. There's no excuse. Study to show yourself approved, a workman unto God, which needeth not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. So we study to show ourselves approved. Amen. The end time, dangerous time. The rapture is preeminent. I mean, the rapture can occur right this minute. Everything's been fulfilled. Pictures, power, Israel became, that was the last fulfillment of what God is saying to us, you know, the last fulfillment. You know, when you see Israel become a nation, know ye that summer is nigh, even at the door. Jesus is standing there waiting. You know, there's this, when everything is done, everything is complete, and God is going to tell Jesus to go and get his bride. You know, everything is fulfilled. You know, the prophecy which is fulfilled to Israel has been performed. May the 12th, 1948. We are simply waiting on the fulfillment for him to come and get us. That's the only thing that's left. The Lord himself shall descend in the cloud. The voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. This is the only thing that's left. Finally have declared how God did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people called by his name. The gospel. You know, to the utmost, Jesus saved, to the utmost. There's a people that are called by his name, that bear his name in the earth, that exalt him in the earth, that are, you know, like anything else, have gone the distance. Tried and tested, purified, sanctified, washed in the blood, you know, want to see Jesus, want to live right. You know, if we live right, heaven belongs to us. If we live right, heaven belongs to us. You know, we got to take off unrighteousness, put on Jesus. I like to read verse from Romans chapter 14. We're gonna go ahead and close out Romans chapter 13. We're gonna start at verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wanting, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know, you can't hide. There's no place to hide. You know, David in Psalms 139, you know, declared he knows your thoughts from afar off. You know, he knows your heart's desire. You know, if we were to descend to the hills and to the highest place, behold, he's there. And to the depth of the sea, into hell, we make up our bed in hell, behold, he's there. So there's no place to hide. You know, shake off the works of darkness. You know, let us take it off. You know, you can't live holy and unholy. You can't mix the two. You know, you got to come out of sin. You know, declare a benediction over the works of sin. You know, give it a burial, the proper burial. And then you have to start running for your life, because that's what's on the line. Your life is on the line. Judgment is sure. You know, after all of this, there's going to be a judgment. God has worked, has wrecked on all of us. You have got to have a desire to want to live holy. Not that you are holy, but because you have a desire to want to live right. And that desire comes from the fact that you fear God. Church, you can't get comfortable in your relationship with God. God is God. There's none like him. We are his servants. You can't get to a place where you get comfortable with God. You can't come in his presence any kind of way. You can't even, you know, you got to understand you must have some fear of the Creator himself. You know, God is God Almighty. He has the power to defend, and he has the power to destroy. We've got to fear him. Don't get so comfortable, so acclimated to the sinful world that anything goes. It doesn't work that way. You know, we have to cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light. You got to learn how to love your sisters and your brothers. You know, it doesn't matter what they do. What does matter is what you do. And God requires that you love everybody. And if God is in you, and if he is in you, then love is in you. And if love is in you, then you got to love your sister and your brother. That's just the way it is. You can't go around that, because God is love. You know, don't let somebody say you can love God, who you've never seen, and you don't love your sister and your brother, who you see every day. That just does not work. You got to love them. Nobody tells you, I mean, you got to love your sister and your brother. That's just the way it is. And if you have a struggle, if you struggle loving your sisters and your brother, then there's some problems in your relationship. Somehow or another, something is just turned around. You know, love is the fulfillment of the law. And if we love, then there's no ill toward your brother or your sister. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Casting off the works of darkness. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, nor in chambering and wandering, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill thereof. You can't do this in your flesh. Flesh won't allow you to do it. Flesh is all about flesh and fulfilling the things of the flesh. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You've got to crucify this flesh. I'm serious. You've got to crucify the flesh. The flesh will not allow you to do God's will. It just won't do it. So you got to crucify this stuff. You know, we want to like this one and hate this one. We want this one on condition. We want to do all these things that surrendering our will to God's will. Only those that do the will of the Father are going to make it. Everybody else, apart from me, you workers of iniquity, I knew you not. So we thank God for the word on tonight. It's a very strong, it's a very powerful word. Moving is what it is. You know, we got to get back to the old landlord. We got to get back. We got to get back to those places where we fell from. Believe it or not, we have fallen a long ways. You know, this word Christian has taken on so many different meanings. But the word saint, you know, God kind is what it is. You know, when a person is a saint, he becomes God kind. Your body is a temple of God. God lives in you, and you walk in you, and he talks in you. You become God kind. Your mind and everything else is transformed. You bear the image of the heavenly. You know, take off this mort, you know, and we put on the heavenly. We put on Christ, and Christ, you know, in you, the hope of glory. It's all about Jesus. For him I live, I die, and I move. I mean, it's all about him. Kill self. Paul said that I might know him, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, you know, in the power of the resurrection. That if though I have already apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We got to get in the press and begin to press our way and want Jesus like nothing else. You know, we got to fall in love again with him. Go back and do your first work, church. You know, we may have loved him in the beginning, but somehow or another, something interrupted your this love affair. So we embrace him again. You know, we begin to desire him, hunger and thirst after righteousness, hunger and thirst after Christ, you know, hunger after him. You know, we seek after him. Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. He who comes to God, first of all, must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. Though he be not far from any one of us, the mysterium of God, who hides on the left and on the right, and when we search for him, we can't find him. God wants us to keep on growing in knowledge and grace. You know, he don't want us to be comfortable just any kind of way. He wants us to grow. You have to, it's a process. Growing is a process. And of course, we thank God for the growth, for the maturity, for the development. He changes our ways. He changes our heart. He changes our mindset. He turns us around. So that's what repentance is. Come without money. Come without script. Come and drink. You know, come drink this wine. This wine that on the day of Pentecost, they said, these are drunk. New wine is what they call it. Come and drink. Come and dine at the master's table. So we thank God for another day of worship. We truly bless his holy and righteous name. Truly the Lord is good, and his mercies endureth to all generations. He is a merciful and a compassionate God. He loved us so much that he died for us, gave his life so that we can have a right to the tree of life. You know, he loves us completely. Nobody's going to put up with the stuff that people do. God puts up with us. He deals with our idiosyncrasies, our inadequacies. He helps us. He pleads the things that we don't even deserve, but he does it anyhow. because he loves us and he knows who we are. Ultimately, you know, he wants no one to be lost. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. No soul should be lost. But if we can't get out of the way, we got so much pride, we want to be in control and do everything we want to do, then we have to deal with our consequences. We have to deal with our consequences. He has to be first. He's not going to be second in your life. He's got to be God because he is God. But you have to make him God of your life. You know, you make him God. So we thank God for our confession. And it's what we live. It's not what you say, but it's what you live. Because what you live is what speaks. Believe it or not, it speaks louder than anything that you say out of your mouth. You know, people can say all kinds of stuff. But when it comes down to living of this life, it comes into something else. You know, the way you live, you know, that is your testimony, the life you live. May the work I do, the Bible, the old saints would say, speak for me. Amen. So we thank God for this worship experience. We thank God for the Word of God. And we got to live up to the standard. We got to raise up to the standards that God has set for us to live. You know, this victorious life over the works of the flesh and the works of the enemy. You know, you can defeat the works of the enemy, but you can't be weak. You can't be feeble-minded. You got to be strong in the Lord, determined, you know, strong and determined to make it. You got to put these things out of your mind. You know, take on, you know, Christ is victorious. Take on the attitude and the disposition of a warrior, of a conqueror. You know, we challenge and we take on battles one after the other. You know, you can't be defeated. You know, you can't let things in this world defeat you. You can't let people or things stand in your way. You know, you have got to want it. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want to see Jesus? How bad do you want it? Because that's what's going to determine how far you go, how far you grow, how much you're able to make of this of the situation, how far you can overcome these situations. It's how bad do you want it? You know, you got to have your mind fixed. Gird up the loins of your mind. You know, gird it up. Get your mind right. Get your mind fixed. We can be becomes, you know, you have to be humble as a, you know, we have to be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. Get your mind right. Fix your mind. Fix your attitude. Fix it. Oh, we thank the Lord. We're going to stop here. We thank God for this worship experience. Stop here on tonight. Truly hope that this service will be a blessing to you as it was to myself. Amen. So we thank God for the worship experience, the end time. The end time is where we are. At this time, will there be any questions? If there be no questions, we're going to go ahead and pray, and we're going to say goodnight. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, God, we bless you for being God. We bless you for the words that you sent to us, the words of life that has breathed life into our mortal beings. Father, we thank you for the light that you shine on us from above. Father, for the words that you spoke, Lord God. Father, we are encouraged. We know that you care, Lord God. You know, you shared with us those things that are necessary to please you. Father, we're grateful for that word. We're grateful for strengthening us, for building us up, for we're torn down and giving us knowledge and edifying us, for blessing us, Lord God, for being patient with us, for giving us grace and mercy for this race, God. Father, we just ask that you continue to suffer along with us. We ask you, God, and we cry out for this lost and perverse nation that we live in. We ask you, God, to turn the hearts of men, that you change their heart, change their nature, that you speak to them, that you call the Holy Spirit to them and convert their hearts and turn them from their wicked ways, Lord. Only God can take an unclean thing and make it clean. Father, we are grateful that you can wash the blood of, that the blood washes and cleanses us from all our consciousness, from all of our illness and our sicknesses. The blood performed, the blood prevailed, and we are grateful for the blood of Christ. Thank you for the blood, Lord. Satan, the Lord rebuked you. Lord, we just pray that some soul is saved on tonight, some life is changed, that somebody is turned from their wicked way, somebody that's near death, near hell, Lord God, that you bring them out of hell, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you fix that home, Lord God, fix that problem, that situation that's going on in the home, you know, the husband, the abuser of men, Lord God, that you just turn that situation around, that you provide a way of escape, that you fix it, Lord, that you provide the food, the strength, and the ability, Lord God, the mindset and everything else, Lord God, that takes to make it in this world. We ask that you give it to us now. Build us up, Lord God, where we're torn down. Strengthen us in our weak situation, Lord God, in the precious name of Jesus Christ. We ask that you would just simply suffer with us, Lord God. Build us up. Encourage our hearts, Lord God. Do it now, Jesus. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Words of eternal life. Speak, Lord. We desire to hear what you have to say. Speak to our hearts, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we ask, we call on your name. We call on the precious name of Jesus. We call on that wonderful name. And we ask you, Jesus. We ask you, Jesus. Lord, in spite of, Lord God, we ask that you look past our faults and see our needs. In the name of Jesus Christ, that you extend your hands, Lord God, into our man-made situation and do it for us, Lord God. We ask that you manage our fears, that you do it for us, Lord God. Open doors and protect us, Lord God, from the dangers of this world, situations, our family members, people around us, Lord God, that you just turn their situations around and bring them out, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we realize, Lord God, that you are all things. You are the great I Am, God, and we bless you for all that you are, the El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God. We bless your holy and righteous name. We exalt you in the earth. Truly, it was of the Lord's doing and not of our own. We bless you now for these and all things. We call it all joy. We call it all done. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We thank God. We thank God again, and amen. This is going to end our service for the night.
feel like I'm in.